The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make the new 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. If Mike Shane were a painter, right now he might be gazing raptly from his office window at the sun setting directly into San Francisco's Golden Gate. If Mike Shane were a poet, he might be gazing dreamily at Phyllis Knight, his office associate. Being simply a very practical private detective, Mike's eyes are focused upon a typewritten letter on his desk, while he and Phyllis share the telephone, talking to the inspector of homicide.
And it goes this way, Inspector. Dear Mr. Shane, my life is in great danger. I dare not come to your office for fear I shall be followed. This note is to acquaint you with the fact, so that when I telephone to you, you may come instantly without question and well armed. And it's signed with the initials R.E.M.
When'd you get it, Mike?
Oh, a week ago Tuesday, Inspector. No return address given, and it's typed on the very cheapest paper.
Sounds a little different from the usual crackpot thing, Mike. But I think that's all it is.
Mm.
Our department gets a dozen of those letters every day.
I know, Inspector, but this afternoon I got a phone call from the guy. Still wouldn't give his name. Said he was in really desperate peril now. He was going to risk coming to see Mike anyway at 4 o'clock.
And so?
Well, it's 6 o'clock and we're still waiting.
And forget it, Mike. Guy's just a screwball. If it had really been serious, he'd have gotten in touch with the police.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Oh, by the way, Mike, what are you doing this evening?
Oh, Mike and I are going to go to dinner and maybe a movie. You want to make it a force?
Well, my wife is spending the night down on the peninsula with her folks.
Okay, Inspector. Look, I'm going back to my apartment and change shirts. Say, what do you say you meet us there in a few minutes, huh?
I'm on my way there right now.
Hope you kids don't mind my inviting myself along like this.
Oh, nonsense. We love to have you. But I make one condition. No shop talk from you kids tonight.
Deal.
Well, it'll be a painfully quiet evening, then. Let me see. Any mail in my box? No, not today. All right, make yourselves at home, children. It won't take me a minute to shave and put on a clean shirt.
What under the story? Mike!
Huh?
There on the floor.
Holy... Mike, what do you want? Where did you get it? It's a head. A mummified human head.
Yeah, it's been shrunk. The head's no larger than a baseball.
And the skin, it's almost black. That long hair. Oh, it gives me the shudders.
Mike, how in the devil did it get in here? Somebody pulling a gag on you?
Blamed if I know, Inspector. From what I've read, I'd say it's a trophy of some headhunting tribe. Probably Sarawak or Borneo.
The cheekbones look more like an Indian's to me.
Mm.
You know, they say they have headhunters in Martinique and up the Amazon.
You're right, Phil. It's a South American Indian.
But how did it get in here? The front door was locked.
The same goes for the windows. Unless maybe the one in the bedroom. Inspector?
Yeah?
Phyllis! Look. Look on my bed. A body.
These slight markings on the throat are conclusive, Mike. He was strangled.
Yeah. And with a good deal of finesse. It was done with something, some soft noose, a garrote or something.
First we find a mummified Indian head and then a man strangled. Well, kids, there must be a connection between the two.
Yeah, Phil, but what? Did the killer leave the head for Mike, or did this man drop it?
Hey. Hey, there's something on the floor.
Yeah. Huh?
The man's wallet. The driver's license gives his name as R.E. McIntyre, 1198 California Street. Born April 5th, 1896. Listed as married.
R.E. McIntyre. R.E. Inspector.
Yeah, Mike.
The initials on that letter,
R.E.M., R.E. McIntyre. This is our man.
Yeah, but what in the blazes was he doing in your bedroom? I thought he was to meet you at your office.
Well, maybe he was being followed, Inspector. Decided he'd be safer if he could hide in Mike's apartment till Mike came home.
Oh, it's dizzy any way you look at it. There's almost $100 here in his wallet. He's dressed like a Nob Hill millionaire. Yet he wrote to me on the cheap paper a schoolboy would use.
Yeah, let's go through his pockets and see what else we can find.
Okay.
First, the wallet.
Here.
A gold pen and pencil, initialed R.E.M.
Yeah. Here's a checkbook. Key ring. Gold knife.
A couple of dollars in small change. One pack of cigarettes. Match folder. That's all.
Yeah, it doesn't tell us anything. Hand me the phone, Mike. I'm going to call headquarters for the squad, and after they get here...
We're leaving for 1198 California Street, and the lady who is Mrs. McIntyre.
When did I last see my husband? Well, we ate luncheon at the Palace Hotel, and then Mr. McIntyre said he had some business to attend to.
What time was that, Mrs. McIntyre?
I would say 2 o'clock.
Well, that's just about when he telephoned the office. He told me he was coming to see Mike at 4 o'clock.
Did your husband tell you, Mrs. McIntyre, that his life was in danger? That apparently he was being followed everywhere he went?
Mr. McIntyre never talked over his affairs with me. However, I did notice that the past several weeks he seemed very nervous. I thought he was brooding over some business matter.
And just what was his business?
Mining. He and his partner, Anthony Locke, own a big tin mine in South America.
South America? That's where the dried Indian head came from. It did mean something.
Mrs. McIntyre, do you know if your husband had any enemies?
I've answered that. Mr. McIntyre did not talk over his affairs with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly provided a beautiful and expensive home. Mrs. McIntyre, can you explain why he should write us that letter on the cheapest sort of paper and then sign only his initials?
Mac's done that trick before.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted you to think he was a poor man, so you might work for him at less money.
Oh.
He would even introduce himself by some false name that would fit his initials. Yes, he thought that much of a nickel.
Except when he could spend it on himself, huh?
I presume, Mrs. McIntyre, your husband left the will.
Mr. Shane, I'm getting very weary of repeating this.
Mm?
My husband did not talk over his business with me. Of course he had a will. And of course I'm the beneficiary.
You must realize, Mrs. McIntyre, that
I realize that for one half hour I've been subjected to highly impertinent questions. I know nothing which can help the police department. And there the matter ends.
Mike, for 2 cents, I'd go back to the house and haul that royal lady down to headquarters. I think she'd decide to answer our question.
Look, let's forget her for the time being, Inspector. We've got to talk to McIntyre's business partner, Anthony Locke.
Hey, kids, I just saw a man duck behind that front gate.
You did?
Okay, let's have a look.
Hey, he got in that car.
Quick, we'll follow him.
Here, jump in.
Thanks.
Mike started.
He's getting away.
He's gotten away, Angel. The wires have been pulled loose from my ignition switch.
We'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane in just a moment. Many motorists have been amazed at the way the new 76 gasoline performs in traffic and on hills. Well, the reason is simple. It's because the new 76 contains components of the same 100-octane gasoline Union Oil Company's refineries produce for the Air Forces. That means the new 76 gasoline for your car is packed with extra power, greater than pre-war. You'll notice its instant response as soon as you come down on the accelerator. You'll like its quieter, faster action, and you'll like its price, too, for 76 is a non-premium gasoline and still sells at regular prices everywhere. So for a real thrill in driving, put in a tank full of the powerful new 76 gasoline. Nearly all Union Oil Minuteman stations have the new 76 on hand now. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. Tonight, a triple mystery dogs Mike and Phyllis. Why was a mummified Indian head left in Mike's apartment? Why was a man strangled to death in Mike's bed? Who pulled the ignition wires loose in Mike's automobile? Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have gone to the home of the murdered man's partner, Anthony Locke. The dining room door opens.
Mr. Locke asks if you would please join him in the dining room.
Why, certainly.
Thank you.
Good evening. I was just beginning my dinner. Hope you haven't eaten. I'll have water set extra plates.
I'm afraid you don't understand, sir. I'm the inspector of homicide. This is Mr. Shane and Miss Knight, private detectives.
Oh, really? Well, I misunderstood, Waters. Bit hard of hearing, you know. Too much quinine, touch of malaria. Sit down, sit down. I despise eating alone. Happy to have your company.
Mr. Locke, this is not a social call.
No, can't recall inviting you. Don't know what you're doing here. But how about some terrapin soup? It's excellent tonight.
Sir, I'm from the police department. Your partner, Mr. McIntyre, has been killed. Murdered. Strangled to death.
When?
Tonight, in my apartment.
What?
And in the next room, we found a dried, mummified human head. Mr. Locke? Mr. Locke, are you all right?
The sign of death.
You know what it means?
Yes. Yes, McIntyre came to me with an anonymous letter. It said he was going to die.
When was this?
About 10 days ago. I tried to get him to go to the police. He wouldn't. Finally, he said he'd hire a private detective. We both knew who sent the letter, but I didn't think he'd actually kill.
Hmm?
That's what that head means.
He? Who? Please, Mr. Locke.
His name is Ferd Stockel. He lives in Bolivia. McIntyre and I bought our plantation from him about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was just jungle and bare mountains. Then we dug the tin mine. Stockel said we cheated him out of it. He swore he'd get even. This scar on my cheek. He did that with a machete.
Then you think he's in San Francisco?
He must be. The letter was postmarked from here. But, gentlemen, this isn't the end. I have received the same letter.
The same death threat?
Yes.
Okay, let's have a look at that letter.
Well, that's a strange thing. I had it on my desk, then suddenly it disappeared.
Then we better move fast. I want a description of this Ferd Stockel.
Well, I can give you that. He's about 5'7". He has black hair, black eyes, very dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be about 40 now. He speaks English with a peculiar hissing accent.
Good. Now, Mike, we better get moving.
But how can you catch him? What can you do?
Plenty. We're going back to headquarters and broadcast a general alarm. All right, boys. That's the man's description. Get that on the radio right away. See that all squad cars are contacted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Smith, your men will cover all airports, train depots, bridge control stations, and highways. He may try to skip town.
Yes, sir.
Russell, and you boys, go over the registrations at all hotels. See if you can get me the immigration authorities.
Yes, sir.
That's all. Get busy.
Inspector, we made an inventory of everything in McIntyre's pocket.
So did we, Sergeant.
Oh, then you know about the folder of matches.
Matches? What about it?
Address on the cover there. That's a third-rate place down on the Embarcadero. Hardly a place for a rich man like McIntyre.
You're right, Sergeant.
Not only right, Inspector. I suggest we visit that third-rate hotel on the Embarcadero right now.
Well, that's what I said. Ain't nobody name of Ferd Stockel registered here.
Well, he may be under another name. You got any man registered from South America?
Hey, let me think now. South America? Oh, yeah. Yeah, room 307. That great big guy with the beard. Signed in from Lima, Peru.
When?
Oh, maybe 2 weeks ago. Name's Ed Badger, he says.
2 weeks ago. Time fits if the description doesn't.
Okay, I guess this time we walk up.
Yes, I come up from Lima. What about it?
Before that, Mr. Badger, by any chance were you in Bolivia?
Oh, now I'm on. You've been talking to McIntyre. What's Mac doing? Running to the police just because I thought he had some sense.
You were going to say just because you what?
Well, now, Judge, it was a good deal. I figured Mr. McIntyre and Mr. Locke wouldn't mind owning the second tin mine down in old Bolivia. I could fix it so they'd get hold of a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
A few thousands played in the right place, you know. But if Mac is going to turn Sunday school boy on me...
Mr. Badger, you work for McIntyre and Locke?
I was boss of the mine, madam, until they were looking for an excuse to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
But Edge Badger is not one to hold hard feelings.
When did you last see McIntyre?
Well, he come to the hotel here yesterday. Now, I'm not one to do Mac dirt. He ought to know that. So if you gentlemen will give me an idea what this is all about.
Mr. McIntyre has been murdered.
Oh, that's not so good.
No. Mr. Badger, you mind telling us where you've been for the past 3 hours?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I've been right here in my room. And, maybe a couple of trips to the bar.
Did Mr. McIntyre tell you that he'd received a letter threatening his life?
No. A letter, eh? So that's what was worrying old Mac. I figured he was having trouble with his wife.
While you were down in Bolivia, Mr. Badger, did you know a man named Starkle? Third Starkle?
Oh, did I know Third? There's a cutthroat for you.
Oh?
Now, if you were to ask me if Third Starkle would kill Mac, I'd say yes. I, Mac, and Locke really crossed him up once.
Have you seen him in San Francisco?
Yeah? No. He's down in Bolivia.
When did you last see him there?
Why, a couple of months ago, I'd say. Yeah. You mean you think he's in town? I wouldn't like that, gents. He's a bad one.
You said a moment ago you thought McIntyre was having trouble with his wife. Where did you get that idea?
Well, I only thought. I don't know.
Go on, please.
Well, I don't know anything. Mac just said something about his wife nagging him. I hope you gentlemen won't tattle that to her. I may have to do business with her in Locke. Hey, you won't say anything, will you?
That's for us to decide.
Mr. Badger, is there anything further you can tell us? Anything else that comes to your mind?
No, I can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm. Inspector, well, I think I've got a slightly different angle on this case. I'd like to go back to McIntyre's house and have a look at his private papers, whether Mrs. McIntyre likes it or not.
I mean, I know what you're thinking, Mike. You figure Ed Badger is in this deeper than he'll admit. Now you want to get some proof in black and white.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, he told us just what he wanted us to hear and no more.
So he's a shady character. But probably he's never risen above petty larceny and confidence games. No, he doesn't look like the...
The type, yes, uh-huh. Mm. You know, someday, Angel, the inspector and I are going to take you down to Rogue's Gallery and show you the pictures of every convicted murderer for the past 10 years. You'll say most of them look as innocent as the inspector or myself.
That's no recommendation.
Oh, get her.
Here we are, kids. I'll pull up in the driveway.
Stop the car. Quick.
What?
There's that man. The man who tore the wires out of Mike's car.
Yeah, he's running down the walk. Hey, you, stop. Stop or I'll shoot. That stopped him. Come
Inspector,
on.
Inspector, if you've hit him...
Don't worry, I aimed at the pavement.
He's pretty shaky in the legs.
What's the big idea? Try to kill a man.
Listen, if I wanted to hit you, I couldn't miss at that short range.
You can't get away with this. Sticking up a guy right... I'll have the law on you.
You're talking to him, buddy. I'm Inspector of Homicide.
And we want to know why you were sneaking around outside this house.
And why you pulled the wires loose in our car.
I'm a private detective. I was paid to watch this house.
Who paid you?
McIntyre. I'm watching his wife.
Oh, is that so? Then, Inspector, suppose we give him a chance to do more than watch her. Suppose we make him talk to her.
The man's lying. Why would my husband hire a detective to watch me?
Well, we don't know that he is a detective.
I got a license. Here, see if he is so.
Mm-hmm. Your name, Andy Blackmore?
Yeah.
License was issued last month. I never heard of him before.
So what? I never heard of you before. I'm new in San Francisco.
Mr. Blackmore, when did Mr. McIntyre hire you to shadow his wife?
Last week.
It's preposterous, I tell you. He's lying.
My orders were to watch her and a fellow named Locke. Well, get McIntyre. He'll tell you if I'm lying or not.
McIntyre is dead. Murdered.
He's what?
Mr. Blackmore, just what were you supposed to find out about Mrs. McIntyre and Locke?
Well, I don't know. I was supposed to keep track of her and everybody she was in contact with, especially Locke. And what happens? I get myself half strangled to death and then you shoot at me.
Wait a minute, hold on. Who strangled you when?
Oh, some big guy with a beard who was leaving here a couple of nights ago and when I...
Hello?
Is the inspector there?
Yes, he's here. It's for you, Inspector.
Thank you. Hello?
Inspector?
Yes?
Mr. Locke just phoned headquarters. Says he's discovered a very important clue.
All right, Sergeant. Tell him we'll be right over. You meet us there.
Whoa.
I don't like this at all. Mr. Locke's front door open, the electric lights off.
Not only off, there's no electricity at all.
Listen, you guys aren't going to mix me up in this. I'm going out and waiting in the car.
You're staying right here, mister.
Mr. Locke. Mr. Locke.
Not a sound. Where are the servants?
I want to find the telephone. Mike, throw your flashlight around.
Oh, Mike.
Huh?
Throw it this way. I just kicked something. It rolled.
There it is.
A head. Another head.
Yeah. And right behind it. On the couch.
Mr. Locke. Mr. Locke.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mike and Phyllis in their adventures. We don't say that driving with the new 76 gasoline will eliminate all your traffic problems, but we do say it will make your driving a lot more pleasant. Even the oldest cars perk up and come alive when you put in the new 76. That's because this new post-war fuel contains components of the same 100-octane gasoline that Union Oil Company's refineries are producing for the Air Forces. That means it's packed with extra power, greater than pre-war. You'll notice this as soon as you come down on the accelerator. You'll like the quieter, faster action of the powerful new 76 gasoline. And you'll like its price, too. For 76 is a non-premium gasoline and still sells at regular prices everywhere. So for a real thrill in driving, put in a tank full of the new Super 76. The new 76 gasoline is now going on sale at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. In the darkened house of Anthony Locke, Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have discovered a second mummified human head. But this time, the murderer has failed. Our trio have arrived just in time. Anthony Locke himself has been revived. In the yellow light of Mike's flashlight, the victim gasps out his story.
Thank heavens you got here. He thought he had killed me.
Well, we did, too. The garage was still wrapped around your neck.
Did you see who it was?
No. It was Starkle. Ferd Starkle. It must have been.
But you couldn't see him.
No. Now I came home and found the servants gone. I got scared. I phoned the police. And I heard a window smash.
Where?
The breakfast room, in there. Suddenly, the lights went out. Somebody grabbed me. I felt something tighten around my throat. And that's the last I remember.
Well, he left you for dead, then ran out the front door and left it open.
Well, it must have happened in the past 15 minutes. You were all right when you phoned us.
Yes. Oh, please, that flashlight hurts my eyes. You can light the candles on the mantle.
I'll light them.
Who's that man there beside you?
Andy Blackmore. I'm a private detective.
He claims McIntyre hired him to shadow Mrs. McIntyre and you.
Mac hired him to... No, no, he's lying.
I tell you it's the truth. Now listen, you guys aren't going to rope me into this.
Mr. Locke, you said on the phone that you had discovered some important clue.
Yes, I found the letter.
Good.
Oh. The letter threatening my life. I've got it in my pocket.
Good. It may be the key to the whole case.
No, I'm sure I... No, it's gone. I had it right here in my pocket. He took it.
Doggone, just when we thought we...
You've got to catch Starkle. You've got to. He's mad. He'll try again.
We'll do our best, Mr. Locke. But I'm worried about these missing servants. How many are in your employ?
The butler and the French cook. Why would they disappear?
Is that the front door?
Inspector!
It's the sergeant.
Oh. And Ed Badger.
And why not? Gentlemen, I was suspicious. I couldn't see any lights except a couple of candles.
Because somebody pulled the light switch.
And tried to murder Mr. Locke.
No, Mr. Locke, too. Are you all right now, sir?
He is. But what were you doing outside?
Why, I was coming to see him. After you gentlemen left me at the hotel, I figured I'd better talk over my business with him personally.
He's the man I was trailing the other night. He's the one that tried to strangle me.
You again. Now, look here, friend. Remember what I told you about messing with things that don't concern you?
Inspector.
Yeah, Mike.
Before the trail gets hot... We'd better look for clues. The killer may have dropped something.
Right. Let's start with a broken window. Mr. Locke said it was in the next room.
Mm-hmm. There's the glass scattered all around the window.
Mm-hmm. Double sliding window. Yep. Let's raise it and check for footprints outside.
Out of luck. Cement paving.
No.
He smashed the glass, crawled through the window, but he didn't cut himself or snag his clothes. Well, let's look around the room.
Mike, let me have that flashlight a minute.
Oh, what is it, Angel?
Look. Look, this window has an upper and lower half.
Yeah, and the bottom half is smashed.
Yeah, but there are little pieces of glass scattered along the wooden frame here on the top of the lower half. Mm. How could glass from below the frame get on top of the frame?
Angel, you hit it.
Hmm?
The top half of the window was lowered first. And when it was raised again, the glass was transferred from one frame to the other.
Then that window was smashed from the inside.
Wait a minute, kids, wait a minute. Remember Mr. Locke said he got a threatening letter just like McIntyre's?
Yeah, the one he just said was stolen for the second time.
But only McIntyre did anything about it.
I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Locke.
Yes?
Mr. Locke, where is the power switch that turns on the electric lights?
Why, down in the basement.
And immediately after the window was smashed, the lights went out and somebody grabbed you?
Yes.
Mr. Locke, it would take several minutes to get from that window down into the basement, then fumble back upstairs in the dark.
What?
Faked the whole thing.
You broke that window yourself. You got rid of the service.
No, it was Ferd Stockel.
You built up a dramatic story for us to swallow. Oh. But your own partner didn't believe it. That's why McIntyre hired a detective to watch his wife and you.
You were the one who insisted on going to the police about McIntyre's threatening letter. But you also got a letter. You never went to the police. You didn't hire a detective.
Because you knew there was no danger, Mr. Locke. Because you are the murderer.
No. Somebody followed McIntyre to Shane's apartment. Somebody climbed through the window and strangled him.
Thank you, Mr. Locke. Thank you. As sweet a confession as I ever heard. None of us told you that the killer got into my apartment through the window, but you're perfectly correct. Well, Inspector, I guess that's all the proof the DA will ask of you.
Mike,
Do
you realize we haven't had a single bite of dinner tonight?
Oh, my stomach won't let me forget it.
Oh.
The inspector told me he'd meet us at Fisherman's Wharf as soon as he finishes at headquarters.
I hope he can find out where Locke got those gruesome Indian heads.
Oh, he probably brought them with him from South America.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, Mike, I think I can guess Locke's motive for the killing. He was in love with Mrs. McIntyre. He wanted the husband out of the way.
Uh-huh. Locke's elaborate build-up was just to disguise a very simple, sordid murder.
Now, I don't believe Mrs. McIntyre had the slightest interest in Locke. Or even suspected his intentions.
Well, it just goes to show you, Angel. When some men are in love, they'll stop at nothing.
Uh-huh. That's not my problem. It's when some men are in love and will do nothing.
Why, Angel!
Tune in again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make the new 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.